Good morning, everyone. The Lord has had something on my heart for a while, and I said, let me get up and stop thinking and just let the Spirit, lead. It's in Acts chapter 27, and this chapter, it talks about the storm, a storm that the Apostle Paul found his way in, and I just want to encourage us with this chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's just a long chapter, but I want to touch on a couple points. And as Paul was going into the ship, we'll read the first couple of chapters. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, a wind not suffering us, we sailed unto Crete, over against Salmone. And hardly passing, it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh where unto the city of Lycia. And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things that which were spoken by Paul. And I'll stop there for now. But it says here that the wind was contrary to them. And also Paul had a message for them and they didn't want to hear. And this is the state of the world today, I believe. The wind is against us, it's contrary to us, that the world is moving in a different direction to us. And we're almost like the salmon that swim upstream, is that, you know, we're going on a different pathway, but the world is always contrary to us. So they don't understand the things that we speak. They don't understand the way we're going. But Paul admonished them and said, look, it's dangerous that we shouldn't go this way. And this is something that we have to continue to spread the news to people, that the pathway that they're heading down is dangerous. It says it's dangerous, but it says also that it was that it may cause hurt and damage to thee. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to be those who spread the good news, tell others that, you know what, the pathway you're going is heading to a crisis eternity. But that's not the focus I want to focus on. The focus I want to focus on is the four anchors in this scripture. The four anchors and what they speak of, and how we can apply them to our life. And so I want to move down further. So what happened is that as they got into the boat, they didn't listen to Paul as Paul warned them. And they got the ship was caught, and they could not bear up unto the wind, and we let her drive. And so it says that in verse 14, it says, but not long after they arose against it a tempestuous wind, Euroclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, girding the ship, and fearing that lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and were driven. And so what happened is that in those days, they girded the ship. It was that what I'm understanding is that they used to take ropes from one side of the ship and then bring it to the other side of the ship to try to hold the ship together. And this is what man tries to do, even though they know they're heading down a treacherous pathway, right? They're trying to hold things together. They're trying to basically with their own strength, with their own might, they're trying to hold the ship together. After Paul told them, this is the wrong thing for you guys to do. Don't go down this pathway. They're trying with their own might, with their own power, to kind of get through this storm. And I'm telling you, the storms of life, you cannot get through it without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? We have to let people know that the only way you can get through these storms that are treacherous, these storms that are contrary against us, is by by giving ourselves wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ and letting him basically guide our ship, guide our lives. I know it's easy to try to find a solution. And whenever we have a problem, we're human beings, we try to find a solution to that problem. So, you know, I know whenever you're sick or whenever you're going through something, you're trying to find, you know, you take every medicine, Mucinex, you take the Sudafed, you're trying everything to self-care to get yourself better, right? And that's our mentality as humans. We want to solve our own problems. But this is a problem that you can't solve. So what they did, they took ropes on the ship to the other side, all throughout the ship to try to hold the ship together. And they thought this was going to be something that could help them. And it says in verse 20, it says, when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. And this is the thing, is that it talks about darkness. There was no stars. There was no sun. They didn't have any hope. They had lost all hope. And that's the world. The world today is in darkness, right? Men have lost hope. Men have said, well, you know what? This is, you know, it is what it is. That's their saying, right? You know, we're just going to live this life and, you know, it is what it is. But there's more for us and there's salvation that's waiting for us too. But it says, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for thou shalt be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So this is the thing that we can bring. So we can bring the good news, as was said before. You know, hey, tell them, look, you know what I'm saying? You're heading to a wrong pathway. You know what I'm saying? You're heading down the wrong path. But then also we can bring them cheer and say, hey, look, there's not despair, right? Even though you may have no hope, maybe you may be heading to a crisis journey, but there's hope for you. It says, Paul told them, he said, look, I exhort you to be of good cheer. How you can tell somebody be of good cheer in a storm is because he had Christ with him. And for there should be no loss of any man's life among you. And that's the thing, is that we don't have to fear life, this life, because we know that we have eternal life, right? We don't have to worry any of these things, right? We don't have to fear anything in this life, right? Because we know we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He has conquered both death and hell. And so this is encouragement we can tell people, is that, look, you don't have to fear. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to fear. There's people who are in the pandemic. They were fearful. They lived in fear. They were scared to go out. They were scared to go with them because they were scared to die, right? But we don't have to have that fear. We can have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be of good cheer. And it reminds me in, I think it's in John chapter 16, and I think the last verse in verse 33, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Is that we can be of good cheer also because we know who we belong to. We know who's guiding our lives. And it says, as we go on, it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And this is another thing that we can find encouragement in. We are the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's also watching over us. It says that the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, came to him in the night. And that's a beautiful thing, to always know that the Lord is watching over us, to know that he's always with us, to know that, you know, he's always coming to us, encouraging us, even in these times of troubles. Because Paul was going through the trouble in his life, too. And I don't want to also make us believe as Christians that we're never going to have trouble in our life. You know what I'm saying? We will go through trials and tribulation. We will go through trouble. But the Lord is with us every step of the way. And the Lord came to him in the night. You know, the Lord came to him in that dark part of the night. And the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. This is something that we can know that we have, even in these trials, that we are the Lord's. That can give us solace, that we are his children, that we know that he will take care of us. But also, it gives us purpose, even in these trials, that we're serving him, that we have a purpose. Our purpose is to serve him. And Paul says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. So this is two things here that I see, is that the first thing is that he's coming and telling Paul, fear not, but he's also giving Paul a promise, right? That, you know, yet you will go before Caesar. So Paul knows that his life will be preserved because that's where he's going. And that's the thing, is that, you know, we can make the application to our lives. We know where we're going, right? You know, saying he has promised us and he said he's going to come back for us. He said, this is where I go and prepare a place for you. And so we know where we're going, so we don't have to fear, right? Because we know that's a promise and that he's going to take us there. And so he says that he's going to seize it, but he also says that God has given thee all them that sail with thee. So there were some men who were with him, right? They weren't maybe saved, right? But because the promise that Paul had, it basically trickled down to these people. And so what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, you know, our proximity to people, the way we live our lives and the way the promises that we stand on, we can also help others, or we can basically impart it to others, that these men were saved because of their proximity to Paul. And I want to make the application too, is that sometimes, you know, the Lord puts us in positions, trials, tribulations, different things, because he wants us to minister to other people, because he knows that if in these trials that they may cause somebody to really, you know, wonder about their life and where they're going, right? And so these men, right, because of their proximity to Paul, they were saved. And it says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and that it shall be even as it was told me. So he could stand on the promises of God, and he can say that, you know what, I believe God, and that it shall be even as it was told to me. So this is something else that we can be encouraged by, is that God's promises are yea and amen, is that they will always come true, right? And he says that you don't have to, hey, look, just believe it, right? He says, I believe that God, and I shall believe that even as it was told to me. And that's the thing, is that us as Christians, we have to always, and I know it's hard, especially when we go through trials, especially when we go through down times in our life, especially when we go through troubles, it's hard to stand on those promises. But those are the times when we need to draw from it the most. And it says here that he said that it shall be even as it was told to me. As we hear God's word, we know it will come to pass. And it says, howbeit we must be east upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about the midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and it sounded found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 50 fathoms. And then fearing lest they should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And this is the crux of the message. So here is, when they sound out, basically they used to have like these ropes or something where they would, you know, put the rope in so they would know how close they are to shore. And so what they were trying to find out, again, these men are trying to find out how they can get to shore. They just want to get out of this situation. And so that's, again, men's thing, our nature. We want to get out of stressful situations, right? The fastest I could get out of this, yeah, I know, at this time, yes, you know, listening to Paul, be of good cheer and things and stuff like that. But in their minds, they're like, we want to get out this ship, right? We don't really trust what's going on. And it's, again, that I believe that the Lord wants us to put our full trust in him, is that he doesn't want us to try to do things our own. Again, they're trying to do things on their own. They're trying to find how close they are, because what they want to do is basically go on the lifeboats and jump out the ship, right? And Paul said that they have to stay in the ship, but they want to find their own way, and that's human nature. But it says that they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wish for the day. And the 4 anchors is what I want to talk about. There's 4 anchors for how you can, that can help in times of trouble or in storms of your life. The first anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. The first anchor that can help you in storms is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to draw from him. We have to go to him. The first thing you have to do is go to him and pray. You must go to him. And also, the first thing we have to do is remember who he is, his person. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He says in John 16, he says, I have conquered. And let me just read that, John 16. And he says, this is his own words, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 33. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this is the first anchor that we can have. The first anchor we can have is in the Lord Jesus Christ, his person. Is that we can look at him. We can look at what he's won on the cross. We can look at his life. We can look at what he's done for us. not only what he's done for us at the cross, but what he's done for us, you know what I'm saying, all throughout our lives. When you look back at your life today and where you are today, you have to look back and you have to say that the Lord Jesus Christ brought me through, right? And so we can draw from that. That's the first anchor. The second anchor is our faith. And the faith, where I want to touch on with the faith, is in Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil, whither the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus, made an high priest forever unto the order of Melchizedek. So, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So the problem is that men today, their faith is in everything. Their faith is, maybe they have faith in a politician, or their faith is in, maybe in this country, or their faith is in, you know, their job. They put their faith in something that moves, that basically could change with every whim. So if the country's going this way, they're going this way. It's there's no steadiness. But our hope, our faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is anchored in something that no matter where the winds may blow, even though we may go through trials and tribulations, that is our anchor. Our anchor is our faith. Our anchor is faith, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, something that we can hold on to in trials and tribulations. Even though we go through these times, we can say our anchor is forever holding unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the second anchor. And we see here that Paul used these anchors in the scriptures, as he said, I am his and you know whom I serve. His anchor was Jesus, you know what I'm saying, his person. But also his anchor was his faith, that he believed in those things. He believed in what was told to him, and he held that as an anchor. The third one is his word and his promise. We have the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the promises in his word. But it's not enough just to know his promises, but it's to believe his promises. You know what I'm saying? Believe his promises. And that's one of the things. Let me tell you something. I grew up in a Christian home, so I know all the promises, right? But it's different than knowing the promises and believing in the promises personally. And you will go through troubles. You will go through trials that make you believe in those promises. You know what I'm saying? And you will have to believe for yourself. You can't believe because your father or your mother. You can't believe because of you know somebody. You have to believe yourself. And that's the thing, is that, you know, Paul believed himself. He says, I believe that in verse 25, he says that it shall be even as it was told to me. But not only that he believed the promise, he wanted them to obey the word. Right? He said you have to stay in the ship, right? And later on, they tried to jump out the ship. They were like, you know, okay, this guy's crazy. We're going through this storm. He's telling us to stay in the ship. He's telling us to do all these things, right? They tried to get out at the ship. And what happened is that Paul had to tell them, look, get in the ship or you're going to die, right? And this is the thing, is that, you know, sometimes when we go through these situations in our lives, those are the times when it's hardest to just trust, right? Because as I said, human nature is to solve those problems ourselves. Human nature is to try to get out the problem as fast as you can, right? So these men were trying to, you know, trying to find the soundings to try to see, like, can we get the lifeboats out? Can we get to land? I want to get out this problem. But the Lord is just saying, just trust in me. I promise you that he promised Paul that, hey, look, I'm going to get you to this place because I have somewhere for you to go, right? And he says to us the same thing. He says, I prepared a place for you. You're going, I have a place for you. You have to believe that you will get there, and you have to trust in him. And so that's the third anchor. But also to confirm that point, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks about it, and it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So what does this verse mean? It means that all God's promises are, first of all, they will come to pass. And we we get all those things through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in him is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So he uses it for his honor and for his glory. So it fulfills God's purposes too. Is that not only that he wants us to do his promise, but as we fulfill those promises, as he fulfills those promises, is that it brings glory to him also. Right? So I just want to encourage us with that. And then the fourth anchor is his presence. And that, I believe, is something that we have to, it's the hardest thing, because it could also be against us too, right? Sometimes we do things that that we're not proud of. But it's something that can also save us in these trials, is that his presence, that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, I know that's a famous verse, but I want us to also come to the realization of it. It says, have I not commanded you to be strong and be of courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And this is where we can have strong, we can have courage even in these times. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us, that we don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be afraid. And this is something that Paul came to and says, fear not. And this is something that I believe that we have to come to realization, is that God is with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us no matter where we go, no matter what we do. So even in these trials, he's with us, right? I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You know what I'm saying? That's a story we know. And, you know, think about them in that trial, right? Not only that they had got falsely accused, but they were put into the fire. But even in that fire, even in that trial, it says that the people could see that God was with them. And so God is with us during these trials. And then it says, as we go on, it says in verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So you see again, now what the world is doing, deception. They pretended like they were going to throw out another anchor, but they were trying to get out the ship. And that's the thing, is that the world likes to deceive. It likes to make us believe, oh yeah, I'm a Christian too. Yeah, I believe, you know what I'm saying? But these men didn't believe. They didn't believe. And that's the thing, is that we have to know what we believe in. We have to know who our faith is drawn from. We can't go with the crowd, right? Imagine if these other people had went with them, they would have lost their life. We can't follow men. We have to follow Lord Jesus Christ and his word. His word says certain things. We have to obey it. Is that these men had heard the word of Paul. You have to stay in the ship. But again, they are trying to do things in their own way. And that's men today. They pretend like they're going the right way. And I don't want to call people's name. There's people who preach prosperity gospel. There's people who preach different things and stuff like that. And there's people who are following them and going straight to hell, right? The thing is that we have to follow the word of God, and that's what we have to stand on. And so Paul brings back what God had told him, and he says, except these men stay in the ship, they can't be saved. And it says, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. That's the thing, is that the only way you can get out from what the world is trying to guide you to is by cutting it off. Cutting it completely off. They had to cut off the rope. You know, basically at that point, they had to go off of faith because there was no more boat. There was no more lifeboat. And that's just sometimes what we have to do in life, right? We have to put our faith wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're holding, maybe sometimes we're holding on to things in our life and saying, you know what? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, but if I just have this little thing, you know, it's not that bad. But what happened is that it's taken away from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because we always have that lifeboat or that thing that we can say, oh, I could draw from. And it could be certain things. It could be like, you know, instead of going to the Lord Jesus Christ when I have a problem, I go call my friend and I say, well, you know, I have this problem and, you know, I have this, you know, thing and stuff like that. And our friend could become, you know, the place of the Lord Jesus Christ or something else. I could have this coping mechanism that, you know, I don't need to pray, but I can draw from this thing. These are things that we keep in our life as lifeboats. But what these men had to do, he had to cut it right off, right? And what happened is that when it fell off, the only thing they could cling on to was their faith. Because there was no more jumping out the ship. There was no more thing. They had to stand on the words of the Lord and of Paul. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes the Lord wants us to have full dependence on Him. He doesn't want us to have full dependence on anything. And I know, you know, we may have certain things that we may need to do, but these things shouldn't be take the place of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and while they were coming on, Paul besought them all to take the meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting and having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat for your health, for there shall be not an hair fall from head of any of you. So this is amazing. He said, shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And this is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he makes a promise, he said, not even a hair. And that's the safety we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear anything. Is that we know where we will be. We will be with him. He promised that, right? And so we don't have to worry about us being touched by this life. But it also says that he tell them to take something to eat. And that's something that we need to do as Christians, that we need to eat. And how do we eat? It's by spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ, by feeding on him, by spending time with him, by praying. That's some of the things that we can do in order to help us through these tough times. And he said, this is for your health. And I want to apply this to our spiritual health. And for there shall not be a hair fall from your head. But also it says that they were fasting. These men were scared. You know, so they weren't eating. They weren't eating. They weren't doing anything. But you see, Paul, he don't have enough fear. He's eating. He's saying good a cheer. He's saying that, you know, all these things because he's standing on the promises. And sometimes we, as we go through our trials, we can be encouragement to others. There's some people, not everybody will basically have the same effect to the trials that they go through, right? But sometimes when we go through our trials, right, we can now be an encouragement to others, right, and tell them, look, you know what I'm saying, you know, be of good cheer, but tell them, look, you know, let's get back to the word. Let's feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's encourage them. So they were scared. They were fasting. They weren't eating anything. And I'm telling you, if you are feeding on the things of the world, you're not eating anything either. You know what I'm saying? That basically, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to call it fasting, but you're starving yourself, right? You know what I'm saying? Because you're basically eating stuff that has no good for your health, your spiritual health, right? And so the encouragement here is that, you know what I'm saying, we should feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, look, eat on something. Eat on some meat. Eat on something that's good. And it says, as we go on, it says, and when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer. Then they also took some meat. So that's the effect, right? That's the effect of feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's contagious. It's contagious, but also it brings cheer to others. The thing is that we may try to help somebody who's going through a trial, but if we try to give them, you know, people have sayings like, you know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger, and you know, they have all these things that people say, you know, to try to encourage people. But the only thing that can give you cheer is the word of God. The only thing that can bring cheer to others is the word of God. Because you know what they're gonna do? You could give them that word and say, oh, you know, I remember when I was going through some child, people said, you know what doesn't kill you make you stronger. It is what it is. You know, they give you all these sayings, and in the moment, it makes you feel good. But when you go home, you're like, well, this is not helping me, right? The only thing that can help you to know God's presence, to help you have those anchors in your life when you go through these trials, is to know that you're eating that meat. And so it says that he took the bread, and we know what bread means in the Bible. He said he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, prayer. So they fed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they also gave thanks. And let me tell you something, thankfulness, even the world, like that's like the new thing, right? Gratitude, right? They're saying that changes your mood. That changes your, whenever you're, you know, you're in depression or you're going through something, they're saying gratitude. They tell people, wake up and name 10 things that you're thankful for, right? You know what I'm saying? And these kind of things, which is good. It does change your mood. But imagine if you can thank the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? For what he's done for you. So it says that even in the trial, even in this trouble, this storm, you know what he's doing? He's thanking, he's giving thanks to God in the presence of them all. And that's the thing, is that don't hide your thankfulness. Let other people see it. He did it in the presence of all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And he shared it to others. And they were all of good cheer. And it says that when they were all in the ship, 200, 316 souls, and when they had eating enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore. But here, just, you know, as we close, it says, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. You cannot, you know, basically, you can't overeat, right? When you feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you never have, basically, you never say, oh, I've never been full, right? You know what I'm saying? You could continue to eat, continue to eat, continue to eat. Because as you read this Bible, as you read God's word, you get something new every time. You know what I'm saying? It says, you know, even if there were books upon books, the world could even full of books, it couldn't tell all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so this is something that we can be encouraged by. And it says that they threw the wheat into the sea. Again, they no longer had any more appetite for anything else. You know what I'm saying? They no longer had any appetite. They said, you know what? We don't need any of this stuff. They threw the wheat into the sea. They said, we don't need any of that. You know what I'm saying? What we need, what we had was fulfilling enough. And sometimes we have to realize that the Lord is enough. The Lord is enough to fulfill our hearts, to fulfill all our desires, to fulfill everything. And just to close, it says, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which should swim cast themselves first into the sea and into the land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all to safe land. And so that's what was fulfilled. The Lord's promise was fulfilled to Paul, that they all were to safe land. Again, they were on broken pieces, they were on boards, but they got to safe land. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say that ship. And you read back, it says that all you guys will be saved except for the ship, right? But even so, they all got to land on those broken pieces. And sometimes, you know what? We will have, you know, we'll go through broken times. We will go through broken times where we can say, you know what? You know, I don't know how I got here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. The next year, you may say, you know what? I went through this time in my life, this troubling time, this I don't know how I got here. But all you're going to know is that you got to the other side safely. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was with you. So I want us to draw on those four anchors. And whenever you find yourself in trouble, that those four anchors were the thing, were the catalyst. If you look through the scripture, was a catalyst and held that ship, right? Until they were able to get to that, to get to that other side. And it's the first thing I just want to repeat is Lord Jesus Christ, his person. That's the first anchor. That's the first thing we should always draw from. The next thing is our faith. The next thing is his word and his promise. And the lastly is his presence. His presence, he's always with us. For his name's sake, amen.